This is Science Friday, and I'm John Dankosky sitting in for Ira Flatto. Do you remember what you were doing 10 years ago? Well, a lot can happen in a decade. In that time, the European Space Agency sent off their Rosetta spacecraft toward a comet, and the spacecraft traveled over 3 billion miles. This week, that trip paid off. Rosetta's lander, Philae, touched down on Comet 67P after a bit of a bumpy ride and sent the first selfie from atop a comet. Now the question is, how much life will the lander have on its surface? It seems to have landed in a shady spot, making its solar power supply a bit problematic. My next guest is here to tell us what we might learn from that lander. Joel Parker is the deputy principal investigator of ALICE, one of the instruments on the Rosetta mission. He's also director of the Southwest Research Institute in Boulder, Colorado. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you, John. It's good to be here.
Our number is 844-724-8255. That's 844-SCI-TALK. If you're on Twitter, tweet us at SciFry. For more on what we're going to be talking about this hour, go to sciencefriday.com. You will find links to our topic if you have any questions about this lander. And I know I do. First of all, I have to ask you, Joel, this mission has been a long time in the making. What was it like watching the Philae land?
It was incredibly exciting. Like you said, many of us remember what we were doing 10 years ago, even 20 years ago or more for people who've been working on this mission. It was a long time coming. I was here in Tucson at a meeting of the Division of Planetary Sciences, so I was surrounded by hundreds of the best planetary scientists in the world. So that was a great environment and a great audience to watch this event.
And what have people been saying about it?
People have been completely enthusiastic about it from both the science side and people who aren't scientists. This is really captured people's imaginations, knowing that we have actually landed for the first time a lander on a comet. And people are just so amazed and so excited. I was busy fielding questions from scientists as well as, you know, relatives and friends all around the world.
Now, the lander bounced a few times before it actually found a resting spot because of some faulty harpoons. What can you tell us about what happened there?
So what happened was the lander had a descent of about 7 hours, and it hit the ground going at about 1 meter per second. So that's about walking speed there. However, the gravity on this comet is extremely low. It's about a factor of 50,000 or 60,000 less than on the Earth. So this 100-kilogram lander weighs about, you know, less than a piece of paper on Earth. So when it came down, it had a few methods to try to have it fix onto the surface of the comet, a reverse thruster and harpoons and drills on the feet. To really keep it down for that first touchdown, the reverse thruster and harpoons were the primary method. Unfortunately, the thrusters, the tanks and the valve for the thruster seemed to not work to hold it down. And the harpoons, for some reason, did not deploy. It could have had something to do with how the touchdown was. So in the space industry, we like to say, you know, always have belts and suspenders. Well, unfortunately, this time, both the belt and the suspenders broke. So the lander took a bounce. And when you're in that low of gravity, the bounce is really phenomenal. It bounced over a kilometer high. The bounce lasted 2 hours before it came down again on the surface of the comet, and then it had a little bounce after that and seemed to kind of settle. So we got 3 touchdowns for the price of 1.
Well, now the lander, it's said, is in the shadow of a cliff on this comet, so it might be harder to recharge the batteries. What are some options there to actually get the lander to survive long enough to get back some of this data that you want?
Well, the prime mission for the lander was always originally the first amount of battery power that was on, which was about 50 to 54 hours or so. Of course, the idea is after that, there would be solar power to recharge the batteries and you could have an extended lander mission. So the lander had the juice to still do that first prime set of science. And it has been doing it, even though it's in a position and a location that wasn't expected. So the lander has been doing a number of experiments and data have been arriving. But indeed, the problem is that it's in a place that does not have good sunlight. And you need that sunlight on the solar panels to recharge the batteries if you want to have an extended mission. So right now, they're thinking of many ideas of how to maybe improve the situation. They kind of need to figure out where they are and the rocks located around them and what's safe to try. If they can try to rotate the lander a little bit or spin up the flywheels or something like that to kind of nudge it into a little bit better sunlight. One other option, of course, is if it stays in shadow for now, it's possible that as the seasons change on the comet a few months from now, the lighting conditions might be better to recharge the comet, and it may, you know, rise from the ashes to comet again.
My goodness. Joel Parker is Deputy Principal Investigator of ALICE. It's part of the Rosetta mission. We'll be talking about his instrument in a moment. But what's something that's on this lander that you're really interested to see data from?
The lander has 10 different instrument packages on it. It's like a mini laboratory. You know, we like to say, you know, instead of bringing the comet to the laboratory, we brought the laboratory to the comet. And there are many that I'm interested in, but one that I think is incredibly fascinating is an instrument called CONCERT. And what CONCERT does, it actually has two parts, one that's on the orbiter that's still flying along with the comet and one that's on the lander. And the orbiter and the lander with CONCERT send radio signals back and forth passing through the comet. And by looking at how those radio signals change, we're actually able to probe into the depths of the comet, parts that the other instruments can't explore. And we'll be able to learn and understand more about how comets are put together and what that internal structure looks like. So I'm really excited. I know CONCERT has been returning data, so I'm looking forward to see what the results are.
Now, of course, your instrument, ALICE, is actually located on Rosetta, the main spacecraft there. What is ALICE telling us about this comet?
Well, John, ALICE is a ultraviolet spectrograph. It takes ultraviolet light and basically breaks it up to an ultraviolet rainbow. And some atoms and molecules that are in the comet have very unique fingerprints in the ultraviolet wavelength range. So we look for these fingerprints to see what kind of materials, what kind of atoms and molecules are in the gas coming off the comet, as well as what the ultraviolet looks like on the surface of the comet and what the materials there are. So we're trying to figure out what these gases are coming out of the comet. And those can tell us what the gases were like when the comet was made. Now remember, comets are the leftover debris from the formation of the solar system 4.5 billion years ago. And since that formation, comets stay in a deep freeze till they decide to come on into the inner part of the solar system and give us a chance to study them. So what we're looking at is the makeup, the chemistry of the solar system as it was forming 4.5 billion years ago. And that's very exciting to us because we'll learn more about how solar systems, our solar system, and other solar systems might be made.
My goodness, about the coolest stuff a scientist like you can find. Let's go to some phone calls. John is in Wilson, Wyoming. John, go ahead. You're on Science Friday.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'm curious about this low gravity situation. The news reports have said that the Rosetta is orbiting the comet. Is that true, or is it actually just sort of coasting along next door to it? And maybe if you could educate me a little bit about escape velocity versus orbital velocity, that'd be interesting.
That's an excellent question, John. This is a very low-gravity environment, as I said. The gravity is on the order of 50 to 60,000 times less than Earth. But you can still orbit because there's still gravity. We can at least orbit it for now. The interesting part, or more interesting, is when the comet gets more active, meaning it's spewing off gas and dust, and that gas and dust will push against the spacecraft. And the spacecraft has huge solar panels. They're over 100 feet from tip to tip. And when you start having that pressure, it counteracts the gravity and actually makes it no longer possible to orbit around the comet. So at that point, we kind of more escort the comet. We fly along. We do close flybys. And so, you know, orbiting right now, but more think of it as an escort later on. And as far as orbital speed is concerned, as we are orbiting the comet, it can take, depending on how close we're to the comet, it can take days to a few weeks to simply do one orbit around the comet because the gravity is so low.
Because we're running short on time, just tell us quickly, how long will Rosetta be accompanying this comet?
So Rosetta is going to be escorting the comet through at least the end of December 2015. So it'll have been with the comet at least a year and a half. It may be there for longer, for maybe 2 years if we get an extended mission or so. And the ALICE ultraviolet spectrometer that was built by Southwest Research Institute plans to get more and more data through the entire life cycle of the comet. It's going to be, we're going to learn more and rewrite the books about comets.
This is like the most exciting thing that's ever happened in your career, right?
I'm just crazy thrilled, let me tell you. You know it's going to happen. I mean, everybody's been working on this for so long. You know in your mind, okay, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, it's going to be exciting. But when it's really there, when you see the pictures and you know something that I've seen here, that I've touched, is now on a comet, there's just no comparison.
Well, congratulations, Joel Parker, Deputy Principal Investigator of ALICE, part of the Rosetta mission, and Director of the Southwest Research Institute in Boulder, Colorado. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, John.